In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Today we celebrate this Mass on the solemnity of Saints Peter and Paul. Saints Peter and Paul. And it's a great time for you and me to reflect upon what our lives really are headed toward. When you look at the lives of St. Peter and Paul, what you find there is one of the great proofs of Scripture being inerrant, meaning without errors, and actually being true and verifiable. Because what do we look at when we see the heroes of our faith? Are these men just like you would find in the pantheon of so many great gods? If somebody were to write about the story of their particular heroes, would they write them such as the Gospels are written? If you were trying to put together a great hero, would you have him at the very beginning of his journey with God, journey to show how great he was, to be saying, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man"? Would you have him at the very end of his journey, the greatest point at which he should be standing strong for all the things that God has done for him, where we read here in the Gospel, it says, "You are the one who lets my Father speak through you, and so I'm going to give you the keys of everything, so that you will be the one who I will build my church upon as a rock." Later on, be the very same one who denies him. You see St. Peter in so many ways, of where he's so strong, where at one moment he's saying, "I'm going to stand for you and live for you and everything. I will die for you." And so he's the first to take out his sword and slice off the ear of Malchus, the high priest's servant. But then, just like everybody else does, immediately after he's rebuked by Christ for that and he's taken into chains, he flees with everybody else. We see him constantly in this movement of bravado, taking on that great movement, and then later on backing off of it in something that is far more cowardly, it seems, than any of the others who are around. Such a confusing figure St. Peter is. At the same time, St. Paul is no better than this. He starts out as being a Jew of Jews, a Pharisee of Pharisees, a teacher of the law, one who is great and gifted in so many ways. He's seen first as Saul, as one who finds those who are followers of Christ, seeking them out in order that he may put them to a bloody end, thinking he would be serving God. Then rebuked of that in his conversion, as some of us who were there and went to the Dallas Museum of Art saw that beautiful image of the conversion of St. Paul that was there. We went through the sacred art that was on display there. Saw that in that moment when he was healed, then he goes into seclusion to try to figure out where his life is headed. You would think that he had his life together there, but then what do we find? We find later on that he's given to such great distemper that so few people don't even want to hang around him because he speaks too loudly, too boldly, too brashly. He's so quickly given to anger. In fact, as I was telling a young lady who's a friend of mine earlier today, was so in awe of the apostles, I said, "Well, don't forget that St. Paul is also a pretty," I won't use the word she used because we don't use those in Mass, but nor did she use them fully herself. But he was such a great man and rough that so too we see him kicking out the author of one of the Gospels out of his company. He kicked out St. Mark, the evangelist, because he said, "You're too much of a sissy, and so I don't want you to drag me down anymore. So don't you even think you're going to go on another missionary journey with me. If you abandon me that first time, I won't have you. Get out. I don't want to see you ever again." That's the one who is preaching about all sorts of the mercy that we find out all throughout the gospel. A complicated figure, right? A complicated man. And so what that should give you and me is a little bit of hope and a little bit of grace when we're going through and saying, look, the apostles, they didn't have it together. St. Paul, he didn't have it together. St. Paul rebukes Peter time and time again for when he does things that are a little bit off, that aren't fully living out the freedom that God gives us. So you and I, when we struggle, when we don't have things together, when we have these thorns in our flesh, as St. Paul would talk about in the second letter to Corinthians, when he speaks about that thing which holds him back, so too you and I have those things. But that doesn't mean that you and I can't be just as great of saints as either of these, St. Peter and Paul, if we would just respond to the daily calls that our Lord has for you and me? What is our Lord daily calling you and me to? Not what did he call me to yesterday that I screwed up on and I didn't listen to and I said no about? Not what does he have sometime way in the distant future that maybe he's preparing me for and so I got to get ready for that, but what is he actually saying for me to do today? Who am I supposed to speak to today, to give an encouragement to, who maybe hasn't been around in a while and needs a little encouragement? What opportunity is the Lord offering me to not embrace the world and all its goodness, but to embrace his cross and to give a little sacrifice in some sort of way, to lessen the amount of food or the quality or the taste or in whatever way, or to somehow embrace some little bit of suffering that I can in my day? Sometimes that means, when should I keep my mouth shut and let the other person speak? And instead of interjecting my blessed anecdote, to give them an opportunity to share theirs by asking a further question to deepen that, even if that other person happens to be my husband or my wife, people it's toughest to act like Christ around. St. Peter and Paul give us that courage. Because when you look at their lives and the way that they ended and the way the church was in great straits and wasn't in going into its glorious moments at any point during the course of their lives, they died in the year 64, we believe. It's very early on, and the church was being beaten down at that point. Their lives seem as it were, to end in failure. It was probably that by design, because so too did the life of Christ, our Lord Jesus, right? His whole life seemed to have ended in failure. But that failure was visited upon a greater glory that wasn't realized in their day, but only after their deaths did that come into it. So the good work that God began in them flourished even more fully when their lives were ended. And so too it may be for you and for me. That the good work that you and I began here within this parish or here within our families or the things that we're trying to turn around that we've heretofore not done so well in, maybe it's not in your earthly life that that's going to have some great success, but maybe in those moments which come afterwards, which you set something up for success. And only through your intercession from purgatory, through your intercession, maybe God willing, in the glories of God forever in heaven, will ultimately achieve more of a final end in that. The lives of St. Peter and Paul remind you and me of these very same things. Let's ask him for the grace to realize that just as St. Peter and Paul struggle day to day in going through their day, so too you and I struggle day to day to even know where we're supposed to go with the next step. That same Spirit, that same Lord, which empowered them to do great things, empowers you and I to do great things. But it begins with the little things and the little sacrifice and little loves and little moments of prayer, the little listenings to God that we do each and every day. Let's ask our Lord for the grace not to let those moments pass us by, but progressively more and more to attune our ears to hear them, so that whatever good the Lord wants to do in me and in you may have its beginnings now, in its fulfillment, as St. Paul speaks, in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.